Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special Chodesh Adar Shir at the Young Israel of Woodmere in honor of, I guess you could say, in commemoration of Shabbos Parsha Zachar, which, of course, is going to be this coming Shabbos Kodesh. And before we have the celebration of Purim, we have the Zechiras Amalek. It sort of reminds me of in Israel, in the current state of Medina Yisrael, before they have Yom HaAtzmaut and the day of celebration and Thanksgiving, they have Yom HaZikaron. And we remember before we celebrate, and it's an essential part of who we are as a people. Zechiras Amalek, the title is Remembering an Enemy We Cannot Forget. L'zecher nishmas, my maternal grandfather, Yitzchak ben Moshe, alav hashalom, his 36th yahrzeit was yesterday, Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Truma, the 6th of Adar, in memory of his daughter, Devorah Bas Yitzchak, Hashem Yukom Dama, and his first wife, and his family members who were murdered in the Shoah, talking about Zechiras Amalek, his yahrzeit was yesterday, Zechuso Yagin Elenu. Today is the 7th of Adar. The 7th of Adar, of course, is the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, is the first one to really battle the eternal enemy of Amalek. Moshe is leading the people out. They have crossed the Yamsuf and Parshas Beshalach, and there comes Amalek. After finishing this shir, very interesting, which focuses on the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, as we're going to be exploring it today, coincidentally, and I put that in quotes, and I use that word on purpose, because that's how Amalek sees the world. Asher karcha baderech mikre, they see it as chance happening. I came across the following information. What else happened on the 7th of Adar? Again, mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, focus of our shir. After finishing the whole shir, I went back and I made this introduction. Zechiras Amalek, all copies, 7th of Adar, all copies of the Gemara were seized from the Jews in France in 1240. The Spanish Inquisition began burning Jews at the stake, 1481. Numerous Jews were killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, in Lunch, Poland. The Rav of the city, Rav Shlomo Chaver, wrote a special kinnah commemorating the massacre, 1624. Jews were expelled from Austria on Zion Adar, 1670. The Struma, with 748 passengers, was torpedoed in 1942. It was an old cargo barge. It set sail from Romania, 769 passengers aboard, in December 12, 1941. It left. It arrived in Istanbul before the engine died. The Turks would not allow the Jews to disembark. If the British would not give them permits, the Turks would have to give them refuge. It remained by Istanbul for 70 days. No one granted the Jews permission to enter, the British not into Palestine, the Turks not into Turkey. Despairing appeals of the captain that the ship was in dire straits, no one would allow them permission. It was sent back on its way to the Black Sea, and on the following day a mighty explosion was heard and the ship went down. There were 103 children amongst the dead. There was one survivor, David Stoliar. That was also on the 7th of Adar. And finally, 7th of Adar, 1943, the final liquidation of the Krakow Ghetto. So that was all on today. So if we talk about Ashir, Zechiras Amalek, and before we celebrate the Yom Tov of Purim, which is perhaps the most joyous day on the Jewish calendar year, we have to remember the enemy. When did it all begin? I asked you to please open up before we even started. Perek Yud Zayin of Shemos, Pasuk Ches, chapter 17, verse 8. We are on page 390 in the Chumash. If you don't want to look inside, you could just hear me read the Pesukim. But when did this all begin? Vayavo Amalek, Amalek came, Vayilachim, Im Yisrael Berufidim. He battled with Israel in Rufidim. Ayomer Moshe, we said Moshe was the first one. It's his yahrzeit today. He was the first one to battle. He said to Yoshua, choose for us men. But say, Hilachim ba'amalek, go out and battle with Amalek. Tomorrow I will go to the top of the hill. I will take the staff of God in my hand. Yoshua did what Moshe told him, to fight with Amalek. Moshe, Aaron, and Hur, the three representatives of the leaders. Moshe, Aaron, Hur represents Miriam. He was Miriam's son. Alu, Rosh, Giva, they go up to the top of the peak, talking about Amalek. My brother's on his way right now, entering into Itamar. They are crossing the checkpoint, literally right now. He said the picture of the checkpoint going in. He said there are 40 orphans. He's there with a tour guide today in the Sherman. 40 orphans in Itamar from victims of terror. Vahaya kasher yari Moshe yado v'gavar Yisrael. He's going to the Fogel House. Vahaya kasher yari Moshe yado v'gavar Yisrael. Be when Moses' hands are up, Israel would win. V'kasher yaniach yado v'gavar Amalek. When he puts his hands down, Amalek would win. And Rashi famously says there, v'chi yadav shel Moshe nutzachos hayu ha-melchama. the hands of Moses are winning the war. What does it mean? The hands of Moses aren't winning the war, so we don't understand what happens. The answer is, when Klal Yisrael looks up to their father in Shamayim, when we daven, when we pray, we're victorious. And when we look down, when Moshe puts his hand down, signifying we're not looking up to heaven, Amalek wins this eternal battle, and the hands of Moshe are heavy. They took a stone. It's heavy. It's a hard battle. It's a hard war. We get worn out. We get weary. We go to a community where there are 40 orphans in one community from victim of terror. You need to sit down. They put their stone under him, and he sat on it. And he needed support. He needed his fellow Jews to hold up his hands on one side and the other hand. On one side and the other side. Vayihi yadav emuna ad bo ha-shemesh. Such interesting choice of words. His hands were faithful until the morning sun rose. And Targum Onkel says right there, Vahava yudohi pirisin bitsolo. His hands were spread out in prayer. Targum Onkel's is word for prayer, for those who have learned with me before, which I think perhaps is everybody here, Baruch Hashem. Tzal is Targum Onkel's word for prayer, which is beautiful. Targum Onkel's translates prayer as tzal, always. Tzadi lamed. Why is that beautiful? Because the David is to come under the shade of the Ribono Shel Olam. So if you're not sure what it means, Vayihi yadav emuna ad bo ha-shemesh, Targum Onkel's tells you, Vahavo yudohu prisin bitzilo. His hands were spread out in prayer until the sun came up. How do we get through the battle with Amalek? We hang on to emuna. The word is emuna, but Targum Onkel says it's tefillah. Isn't that beautiful? Part of having emuna, an integral, essential part of faith, is to have what? Prayer. If you believe in God, so you turn to him and you David, Vayachalosh Yoshua es Amalek. Amalek is weakened, but not defeated. Chaim Brisker Paskins, Amalek is anyone in any generation who rises up against you. The real Amalek comes from Esav. Okay? Biologically, Amalek is from Esav. But today, it's anyone in any generation. They're weakened but not defeated. And Hashem said to Moshe, Kisov zos zikaron. Look at what Hashem tells to Moshe. What you should do? What should you write down? Zecher. Lizkar. Remember, before you have Purim, v'sim ba'azne Yeshua, put into the ears of Yeshua, ki macho emcha az zachar Amalek mitachas ha-shamayim, I will surely erase the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. Moshe built a mizbeach, and he said, Hashem Nisi, Nisi is Hashem is my miracle, Nisi is Hashem is my banner, Nisi is Hashem is my nisayon. All the same word. Nisi is banner, nisayon is a trial, and nis is a miracle. Kiyad al case ka, there is a hand against the throne of God. If you notice, case is the throne, it's really kisei. The aleph is missing. Ka is half the name of Hashem. Rashi says the throne of God and the name of God are never going to be complete until Amalek will absolutely be defeated. Mechama la Hashem ba Amalek midar dar. This war is an eternal battle, God against Amalek, from generation to generation. I already gave you an overview of some of the events that Amalek did to us on Zion Adar, starting from 1240 through recent times. I'm going to quote a passage from my grandfather. His yahrzeit was yesterday. I already mentioned that, and I've quoted this passage before. It's very powerful, especially to me as my grandfather, to have this written down, but it's one Jew's recounting of the horrors of the Holocaust. My grandfather Yitzchak ben Moshe wrote, as soon as the Germans arrived in Krasnik, the pain and subjugation of the Jewish population began. A few weeks after they took over the city, no one could go to daven at a shul. If you wanted to daven with a minyan, a few elderly Jews gathered in a private residence and prayed there. On a certain Shabbos, it was written in Yiddish, his war memoirs, my mother had it professionally translated a few years ago. On a certain Shabbos, I went to lead the services at the home of Rav Peretz Goldberg. May God avenge his blood. A German accosted me, and he began to drag me to the marketplace. A large number of Jews were already gathered, assembled in the market. I was dressed, my grandfather writes, in my silk Shabbos kapata, with my talis and a chumash under my arm. I realized I should have changed my clothing. We were driven away to the train station. They had us unload boxcars. They had us unload coal from boxcars all day. I was so naive back then, and I thought, what are they thinking, the Germans? It's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. We have to say Hallel. So where is he taking us? This was the first time I experienced working for the Germans. I received a beating, but the hell had just begun. I got married at the end of 1939. In the winter of 1941, marked by the weekly reading of Beshalach, Beshalach is the parsha where we first meet Amalek, my wife gave birth to a daughter. We named her Devorah. According to the Haftorah of Beshalach, she was Devorah. However, with each day, the situation became worse and worse until the most appalling day arrived. The pasuk says, "Ksov zos zikaron b'sefer." We looked at that pasuk together. That's the first thing Hashem tells Moshe to tell Yehoshua. Which, where was it? Oh, pasuk Yudale. Okay, I'm on page 392. We're in Perek Yud Zayin of Shemos, pasuk Yudale. "Ksov zos zikaron b'sefer sim ba'ozne Yehoshua." Moshe will not be with us forever. As great as he was mortal. Yehoshua will take over. What shall Yehoshua pass down? Rav Soloveitchik says, quote, and today's Shir is called Zechiras Amalek, remembering the enemy we cannot forget. Why remembering? Why do we call it Shabbos Parshas Zachar? Why do we call it Parshas Amalek? Even though we don't want to honor them with such titles and glory, but really, why Zachar? Because Rav Soloveitchik says the eternity of the Jewish nation is based upon continuity. Moshe will give it to Yehoshua. Yehoshua will give it to the Zekanim will give it to the Nevi'im, the Nevi'im will give it to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who will give it to every Rav to pass on to every Talmud. The eternity of the Jewish nation is based on continuity, and continuity is based mainly on memory. Here lies the fundamental difference between the non-Jewish world and the Jewish nation. The world etches its history on tablets, stones, statues, pyramids. You can go and see the Arch of Titus. What happened to Titus? Who are his children? Who are his descendants? Who is the nation that lives on from Titus? I don't know, but I can go to Rome and see the arch. We're going through the Parshios of Binyan HaMishkan right now, and I can see what he plundered from the Beis HaMikdash. I can see the menorah. I can see the chatzotzros. I can see the Jewish slaves. What is their history? They disappeared into the mist of history. They have archaeological sites. They have digs. But we still have a living people. And what is it based on, says Rav Soloveitchik? Zikaron, remembrance. They etch their history on tablets, stones, statues, pyramids. While all cultural history is based primarily on memory. At the same time that Moshe commanded Yehoshua to write Kisov Zos, write it down, make sure you remember. He commanded him to remember. While the modern world, says Rav Soloveitchik, suffers from memory deficit. And wow, as time goes on, do they ever suffer from memory deficit? I'm sure that everyone here has seen in the past 3 weeks, three cemeteries in the United States, St. Louis, Philadelphia, and I believe in Rochester, have had about 100 tombstones per cemetery knocked over. One person.
Today in Midwood this morning.
There was another one? In where, Terry?
Brooklyn.
I didn't even see. I didn't have time to check the news today. Wow. I'll repeat it. There was another one this morning in Midwood in Brooklyn. I didn't even see. Quote, while the modern world suffers, says Rav Soloveitchik, from memory deficit, our people is eternal, fundamentally based mainly on memory. And he says, our attaining the state of Israel is thanks to the eternal memory of Knesset Yisrael. This is when we first meet Amalek, and God assures us that it's going to be an eternal battle until the coming of Yemos HaMashiach. Now, if you could please turn, we prepared it before, thank you so much. Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Yud Zayin of Parshas Ki Teitzei in Devarim. It's page 1066 to make it easy. Okay? And this is the Parsha 1066, page 1066, Devarim Chaf Hei Yud Zayin. This is the parsha we are going to read this coming Shabbos. It's words that we have heard from the time we were very, very young. We even take the children to hear. Here we go. So these are the two times that we see Amalek. Zachar sashar salcha Amalek b'derech b'tzeis ha-mimitzray. Look, what word? How do we begin? Zachar. What is the first thing Hashem commanded Moshe to command Yehoshua? Ksov zos zikaron b'sefer. You don't need the word zikaron. Ksov zos b'sefer. Zim ba'aznei Yehoshua. Write it down in a book. But if it's a book that's not alive with memory, then it goes on the shelf. And if you find it boring, you never take it off again. Isn't that true? You don't necessarily read the same. You finish the book. I'm not talking about Chumash. You finish a book, you forgot about it. But if it's Zikaron, then you're commanded to remember. And how do we begin Parsha Zachar? Zachar Sashar Salach Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. So remember in Parshas Bishalach, when you left Egypt and you were triumphant and you spent 210 years in that place of hell, in that pit of hell, and you crossed Kriyas Yamsuf and you got the manna, and you think it's going well, who chanced upon you? Amalek. Zachar. Asher Karcha B'Derech. They see everything as Mikra. They see everything as coincidence. They don't see Ashkacha Pratis. They attacked the weak ones at the rear. You were tired and worn out. That refers to Amalek, not Klal Yisrael. Amalek did not fear God. Vahaya, and it will be, it's a very powerful Rashi. What does it mean? Shani Arbosh Velola Zanav. What is this word? Zanav means tail. Right? We say on Rosh Hashanah, Shani Arbosh Velola Zanav. We should be the head and not the tail. Makas Zanav. A blow to the tail, says Rashi. Choseich Milos. They would cut off the place of Bris Mila, Vizoe Klape Mala. And they would take that organ and they would throw it up to Shemayim. You think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you know, if we didn't have the Holocaust in modern time, you would think that such a thing was fantastic or unbelievable or not possible to fathom that a people could do such a thing. But of course, we know that it's very possible and it does happen. Choseich Milos, Vizoe Klape Mala. You think you have a covenant with these people, God? We're going to show you what we're going to do with these people. Who did they attack? The weak ones. Rashi says something very important. Chasrei koach michamas chatam shahayu anan paltan. Look at this. Amalek attacked the sinners. They were weak because they were sinners of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, the Ananei HaKavod spit them out as a result of sin. And nevertheless, even when that's who they attack, Hashem says, those are my children, and those are part of Klal Yisrael, and they're not up for grabs, and there's no survival of the fittest. So they were weak, so they had sinned, so they were out of the clouds. You still have to remember what Amalek did. And Amalek does not fear God. It'll be when Hashem gives you rest from all your enemies all around. We have not seen this yet come to fruition. I mentioned that my brother's right now in Itamar, 40 orphans. We do not have yet the rest. Timcha et Zechar Amalek, again, erase the memory, any trace, the remembrance of Amalek, mitachas ha-shamayim, from under the heavens, lo tishkach. So here we have a positive mitzvah of Zachar and a negative mitzvah of lo tishkach. In case you don't feel the asay, you should know there's a lo tasay to strengthen it. Sefer HaChinuch speaks about this mitzvah 603, according to the Chinuch. I made a bracha before I started. Sefer HaChinuch, mitzvah 603. The sages teach that the chiyuv to remember is in the heart and in the mouth. However, unlike Yitzias Mitzrayim, says the Chinuch, which you have a mitzvah to zachar, remember every single day, there's no set time for Zechiras HaMalek. It doesn't say b'chol yom or b'chol laila, doesn't say arosh chodesh, it tells you it's a general category of remembering, not a set time. What is going on? What is the reason? So Chinuch says the reason for remembering is so the hatred of him should not be forgotten from our hearts. I think that it's difficult to forget them from our hearts, but it should not be forgotten. It is enough for us to remember once a year, says the Chinuch, even once every 2 years. We don't have a time, specific time by the Torah. On account of the mitzvah of Zachar et Asher Asalcha Amalek, says Chinuch, we establish to read this passage on a designated Shabbos each year. That is the Shabbos before Purim. The Sefer Chinuch is written in Lashon HaKodesh. This is the translation. It will be fitting to read it on Purim, the Chinuch continues, because it is Minyanei Diyoma, he says. You would think that you should read it on Purim, because, he says, Haman is, what does this have to do with Purim? By the way, maybe I should have started that in the beginning if it wasn't obvious. Why do we even have Parsha Zachar before Purim? Because Haman is Haman HaAgagi. He is from the king of Agag. Agag was Amalek. Amalek's from Esav. Haman is the Amalek of the time in Paris and Madai who arose to destroy us. But, so the Chinuch says, it's Minyanei Diyom of Purim. So it would be fitting to read it on Purim itself. However, to make it known before the miracle of Purim, we are commanded about the Zechira. We read it before Purim, close to Purim. Interestingly, he finishes and he says, this mitzvah is no heges b'chol makom u'b'chol zman, in every place and every time, upon the men, b'zcharim. Upon the men, because it is upon them to wage war and take vengeance against Amalek, not upon the females. One who is over on this and does not remember in his heart and does not read this passage is batal, the asay to remember, and is over the lo tasay of lo tishkach. So those are the words of the Chinuch on this. Of course, we do go to shul, and as women, we absolutely do remember, but the actual mitzvahs asay, the Chinuch is telling you, who did the Torah actually command? The men, not the women. Because who goes to battle? The men are going to go to battle. And if you're over and you don't remember, you're over Zachar, the Aseh, and you're over the Lo Tishkach, the Lo Taseh. The Rambam writes, Rambam Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Malachim u'Melchamos, Parakei, the Kain mitzvahs ase la'aved zecher Amalek. It is a mitzvahs ase to destroy the memory of Amalek. I'm calling Maimonides the Rambam, Shene'emar timcha et zecher Amalek. U'mitzvahs ase lizkar tamid. Tamid. So the Sefer Chinuch says, it's not a mitzvah to midios. You have a set time to remember. It's not like Mitzrayim, they have to remember every single day, before Kriya Shema, we talk about Mitzrayim. In Kiddush, we talk about Mitzrayim. As Yashir Hashem crossed the sea, we're always talking about Mitzrayim. So the Sefer Chinuch says, we have the set time before Purim, but the Rambam says different. The Chayin mitzvahs ase la'aved zecher Amalek. It's a positive commandment to destroy the remembrance of Amalek. Timcha et zecher Amalek. U'mitzvahs ase lizkar tamid. There's a mitzvahs ase to remember always, consistently. Ma'asev haraim, his wicked deeds, arivoso, and his ambush. Kedei le'orer evaso, to arouse hatred for him in our hearts. As the pasuk says, Zachar asher asalecha Amalek, mipnei hashmua lamdu zachar bepah, lo tishkach b'lev. So the Rambam says, we have learned from the sources, we have learned from the Torah, zachar is to remember it at the level of the mouth, the asay is to remember in your mouth, lo tishkach is to remember in your heart. You should cry when a fellow Jew is suffering and pain from an attack of Amalek, rachmana litzlan. You shouldn't only talk about it. That's zachar at the level of the peh. You need to feel it in here. That's lo tishkach at the level of your heart. Lip service is not sufficient. Sha'asur lishkach evaso visinaso, continues the Rambam. It is forbidden to forget his enmity, his attack, his ambush, his hatred. Of Salvatic Zatzal teaches, quote, Amalek, or man, Satan, man, Satan, man, hyphenated Satan, is the enemy of man. And he enjoys causing misery and injury to all people. Chosech milos vizore klape mala. Look what we could do, God. Yet Amalek, quote, is particularly preoccupied with the Jew. He hates the Jew more than anyone else. In hating the Jew and causing suffering and pain and inflicting harm to the Jew, Amalek finds his greatest delight. No matter what his economic, socio-political program that man, Satan, adopts, whether he is socialist, capitalist, fascist, progressive, reactionary, secular, or religious clerical, the hatred of the Jew is Amalek's central occupation. The Amalek story of Moshe's time repeated itself once more in the Jews of Persia when they discovered that man, Satan, hates them, and quote, this hatred can erupt at any time. That's part of the timeless message of the Megillas Esther. Sure, we focus on the Yeshua and the Geula v'nahafachu, and we should. But before that, you have a mitzvah to Zachar. What should you remember, says the Salvatic, quote, the hatred can erupt at any time. The mere existence of the Jew irritates man Satan. The mere presence of the Jew provokes his wrath. It is, quote, completely absurd, unreasonable, mad. But it is reality. The hatred that he arouses, that the Jew rouses in man, Satan, is capable of being translated into violence of apocalyptic, like the apocalypse, apocalyptic proportions. Satanic attempt at total destruction. Haman said, "V'chol zeh enenu shoveli, v'chol eis asher ani roes Mordechai ha'Yehudi yoshev b'shar ha'mah." Haman had so much. It's one of the most unbelievable insights into Megillas Esther. He had everything. He had children. He had a wife. He was the prime minister. He was second in command. He's the chief advisor. He had the king's ring. He's rich. He has silver. He has a nice house. V'chol zeh enenu shoveli. What? Because of one Jew. Everything I have matters not at all. Every time I see that decrepit, despicable Jew sitting in the palace of the king. Haman, says her Salvatia, couldn't stand him. Mordechai's mere presence irritated him. The best solution is to execute Mordechai, him, and his entire people. Salvatic says something very powerful. This experience is not restricted to diaspora Jewry, as secular Zionism would have us think. It is an integral part of the Jewish experience. It means wherever you are. Ad bi'as kol sedek mechamel la'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. Until the end of days, no matter where the Jew finds himself, even, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan in Eretz HaKodesh, even in Itamar, even on the street in Har-Nof, it is a universal, Rav Salvejik's own grandson was taken on that street in Har-Nof, a universal, all-inclusive experience. It is an integral part of the Jewish experience. A universal, all-inclusive experience, not restricted to diaspora Jewry. I don't know if you saw, I just saw it in the news. I didn't see this morning, so you should always be the bearer of Besoros Tovos, but you enlightened me. But did you see that it happened in Har HaZeisim also? And they were saying was the attack on Har HaZeisim against the tombstones, the ancient cemetery where the Trias HaMeisim will occur for first, for those people who are right there by Har HaBayis, by Har HaMoriah. There was an influence by what happened in ancient times. Not in ancient times, what am I saying? I'm talking about Megillah, I'm sorry. Was it influenced by what happened in Galus, in Chutz La'aretz? Was it influenced by the cemetery attacks that we have been experiencing? Did that affect the people? Did that cause a copycat attack on Har HaZeisim? The problem of the state of Israel, says Rav Salvejik, to our enemies, is not only the existence of a political institution. It is their desire to destroy the state and the population. Anyone who hides behind the facade today, you know, anti-Semitism is a new face today. It's called, we like the Jews, but we don't like the state of Israel. And it's nothing. It's a sham. It's a scam. It's a new cloak of Amalek. The Ramban, we already quoted the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim u'Melchamos. We call it the Sefer Chinuch. The Ramban, Nachmanides, says to Devarim 25:17, the passage that we're looking at. V'hanachon be'enai. I think the right thing in my eye, says the Ramban. Shahu lomar shelo tishkach ma she'asalanu Amalek. Don't forget what Amalek did. Ad shenimcha eshmo mitachas ha'shamayim. Until we erase his name from under the heavens. Listen to what the Ramban says next. He adds a new dimension here that we have not yet seen in the Chinuch or in Rashi or in the Rambam, minisaper zelibanenu. You have to tell it to your children, uledoraseinu, and to the generations. Lomar lahem, to tell your children and the coming generations, kein asalanu harasha. Look what the wicked one did to us. V'lekach nitztavinu limchos ashmo. Because of what they did to us, tell your children, we have been commanded to destroy their name. So we're adding in a new element here. Zikaron, it's an explicit command, says the Ramban, to pass it on and to tell the next generation. By the way, when it says your children, yes, it means children, but it also means teacher to student, rabbi to Talmud, rav to kehila. V'nisaper zeh lebaneinu, to the Ramban, to Devarim Chaf Hei Yod Zayin, uledoraseinu. Lomar lahem, kach asalanu harasha, lakach nitztavinu limchos ashmo. The passage that I'm about to quote next, looking at a number of different sources, both contemporary, as well as Rishonim, as well as the Chumash with Rashi. I had wanted at one point to present it in a different class, and it was so painful that I chose not to present it. But I think that for purposes of today's Shira and the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek and Lo Tishkach, it is appropriate. It's an excerpt from Miriam Peretz's book. For those who do not know, Miriam Peretz is an Israeli Jewish mother. She has lost two sons in battle, Uriel and Eli Raz. Uriel fell in 1998 in the north to Hezbollah, and Eli Raz fell in 2010 in the south in Gaza to Hamas, leaving behind four Yisomim. Miriam Peretz writes of the shocking, terrible, painful, indescribable moments when she found that her son Eli Raz, the father of four, the second son to fall in battle, was killed in battle. So I'm going to quote from her book. That day at 3 p.m., Eli Raz was killed. By the way, I'm interrupting her already. We're coming up to Pesach, and that is when we lift the cup and we say, B'chol dar v'dar, omdi malenu l'chaloseinu. Not only do we go from Geula to Geula, we go from Purim to Pesach, we also go from Amalek to Amalek. We go from Amalek of Purim to Arami Omei Ravi Vayered Mitzrayima, to the Amalek of Pesach. That day at 3 p.m., Eli Raz was killed. I remember the exact time Bat-El, that's her daughter, called from the army. We wished each other Shabbat Shalom. With the phone in my hand, I banged my head on the door of the kitchen cabinet. I shouted on the phone. I hit my head really hard. I hung up. I clutched my head in my hands. I continued to shout, what a bruise, what a bruise. I sat down. I burst into tears. Avichai and Eliasaph, her sons, checked ahead. Mom, we don't see a bruise. What are you talking about with your head? I was wailing, sitting under the photos of Uriel, her first son who was killed, grasping my head. I was sitting in the same chair that I was sitting when they came to tell me Uriel was killed. Suddenly, my neighbor Eti walked in. In a few minutes, Shabbat would begin, Shabbat HaGadol. Why was Eti here? I looked at her. She looked at me. We were silent. In a shocking outburst, without a word from her, I screamed, "Do you have something to tell me? Did you come to tell me about Eliraz?" I don't know why I said that. "Eliraz is wounded," she said. "Thank God, wounded," I shouted. I got up. I went to get dressed to go to the hospital. I couldn't imagine that outside the street was already full of people. "Eliraz is wounded. I'm getting dressed. Do you know which hospital?" No one in the house answered me. I called a few people. "Why wouldn't anyone answer me? What's wrong with everyone?" I shouted. Avichai came in. He had gone to immerse himself in the mikvah before Shabbat. He already knew. "Sit down, Ima. They're checking what happened to Eliraz." I prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take me to him. "My Eliraz is alive." Out of the corner of my eye, I saw one of my friends peering out of the window. She was waiting for the military representatives to come into the home. Like a crazy woman, I ran to the front door. I locked it. I ran to the back door. I locked it. I pulled down all the trisim. "No one is coming into this house," I shrieked. At 5:30 p.m., the Shabbat had already begun. The military representatives arrived. They found the table set for Shabbat, down to the white tablecloth. The house was ready, kosher for Pesach. "This is an ordinary house," I shouted to them, "a normal house. One family does not lose two sons." "Why, God, why me?" "Don't tell me," I begged them. "Don't say anything. As long as you don't say anything, my son Eliraz is alive." They tried to speak. After all, that's their job. I know three angels, they visited Avram and Sarah to announce Sarah would give birth to a son. My three angels came to inform me I no longer had a son. "Miriam," they said, "we have to do this." Even when they began to read the prepared text, I screamed at them, "I don't believe you." I called Shlomit, her daughter-in-law, the widow, and she said words that I will never forget. Miriam was a widow. Her husband died in between the death of her two sons in battle. And Shlomit said to me, "Ima, now I'm like you." And then I understood my Eliraz was no more. Rav Sham Shemphal Hirsch writes, Devarim 25:17, Rav Hirsch says, "The fabric of the character of the Bnei Yisrael is woven from justice and loving kindness. We cannot imagine a people who are Chosei Chmilos, Vizore Klape Mala. We can't imagine such a thing. We can't imagine a community of 40 orphans because people willingly want to do this. Our fabric is woven," says Rav Sham Shemphal Hirsch, "from justice, tzedek, and loving kindness, chesed, mishpah. We are a yashar people. Israel is required to see its power and future in the faithful fulfillment of its duty." I have a duty to do. Salvechik says everyone comes to this world with a tafkid. He says not everyone fulfills their tafkid. That's a different story. I have to see the fulfillment of my national destiny, individual destiny. I have to fulfill a duty. The antithesis of our national ethos is presented by Amalek because they glory and exalt only in their triumphant sword and in the trampling of the weak and the unprotected. You're weak and you're tired and you were just slaves. They trample the weak and unprotected. Amalek immediately attacked when we took our first step in history. And from that very first attempt to oppose Israel, it was decreed Amalek would be blotted out from the memories of the nations. Now that we are about to enter the land of Israel, his comments are in Devarim, Parchav Hey, we're about to enter the land of Israel. We are commanded once again. Our attention is drawn to the antithesis of our essence, so we shall never forget. Even though, like I said, you know, it's so interesting to me that the Torah goes out of its way to remember and tell us to remember and not forget. Who can forget? Can you forget? It's sort of a rhetorical question. The answer is no. While you remember, you fulfill a mitzvah's aseh. It's an easy mitzvah to fulfill, because you never can forget. Listen what he says next. Amalek's wreath of military laurels misleads people and blinds them with their glitter. Do you know what a powerful sentence that is? I'm going to repeat it. Do you know how relevant that is to the Amalek of today, who dress in their fancy clothing and nice suits and make the whole world think we're a good people? Amalek's wreath of military laurels. Think of Yimach Shmo V'zicho Yasser Arafat standing on the White House lawn. Amalek's wreath of military laurels misleads people and blinds them with its glitter. That's today. And that was them. The final leaf will fall from this wreath. The final leaf will fall from the wreath when Amalek's power is broken, not by a sword stronger than its own, but by a force solely of God's power and God's moral law. Asher salcha Amalek, asher karcha bederech, bederech betzeischem in Mitzrayim. The nation was bederech. We were on the road. We were preoccupied with thoughts and worries, far from war. We were a homeless multitude, traveling in the wilderness. Women, children. One would expect that our plight would arouse in the human heart sympathy, humanity, morality, not hostility. Mikra is an event that is beyond the reckoning and the expectation of the one affected by it. We were proceeding on our way. We had no reason to assume the enemy would attack us. Asher karcha, they chanced upon us. We were solely unprepared for the Yom Kippur War. We did not think that the enemy would attack us. His attack was entirely unprovoked, strictly the result of bloodthirstiness. A savage people. The whole nation was ayif v'yageya, tired and spent. But lo yare alokim. And Rosh Hashanah Shafar says something so interesting. What is the word to see? Lir'ot. And what is the word to fear God? Yirat Shemayim. And just very recently, from seeing different sources in different places, has it dawned upon me that to see is also to fear. What do you mean, v'lo yare elokim? It's translated as Amalek did not fear God. But why didn't they fear God? Because they didn't see God. Isn't that beautiful? V'lo yare elokim, because Amalek did not see the Almighty, therefore, they did not fear the Almighty. Our weakness did not move him to compassion and mercy, says of Sham Sham Falhirsh, but to cruelty and ridicule of the weak. He did not see God. Therefore, says Rav Hirsch, he had no fear of him. Sham Sham Falhirsh focuses very, very much on Sharashim and how the same Shorash in different instances are actually connected. So Rav Hirsch says, because he didn't see him, he didn't fear him. Lo tishkach. Do not forget, says Rav Hirsch, and should you ever falter and forget your duty, it will be to the detriment of your fellow man. Remember the tear-drenched soil, the tear-drenched soil from which his laurels grow. Remember the tear-drenched soil from which Amalek's laurels grow. Do not forget this when you will suffer from the brutality and violence of Amalek. Remain firm. It's unbelievable that he wrote this in Germany about 100 years. He died in 1888, so he wrote the Peshat about 100 years before the Holocaust. Do not forget this when you have to suffer the brutality and violence of Amalek. Remain firm, maintain humanity and justice that God has taught you. It is to these virtues that your future belongs. Just because Amalek behaves in one way, we must maintain our dignity, we must remain firm, we must fulfill our tafkid, despite who they are and what they are. Lo tishkach, do not forget. And so you should not forget Zachar from time to time, writes of Sham Sham Falhirsh. Refresh in your mind the memory of Amalek and what has been said to you concerning Amalek's future. Yaakov Dan, does anyone know his name? Don't raise your hand. Yaakov Dan, 49, Hashem Yukom Damo, was killed in the same attack in which Ezra Schwartz, Hashem Yukom Damo, was killed. He was 49 years old. He was actually traveling. It was a Thursday. He was on his way to study with his sons in the yeshiva. Every Thursday, his wife said, just like yesterday, you went to Ma'ale Adumim to learn with Aviad and Ma'ar, his sons. I suggested to you, maybe you should not go because you were so busy. But you said you could not give it up. The learning with the boys was the highlight of your week, Don's widow Sarah said as she eulogized her husband of 22 years. Yaakov, my sweetheart, I can't believe what was will never will be, she said before his shawl-draped body. And then she said, how ironic, you always wanted me to speak at family events. You wanted me to speak at weddings, at bar mitzvahs. Now, finally, it is happening. You always said you were lucky I was your wife, but I was lucky that you were my husband. He was an educator in Gush Etzion. He had been working on his doctorate. He was frustrated he was not able to help out at home. Everything you did, she said, was for your children. You always told me how proud you were of them. Yedidya, his 17-year-old son, said, you were everything to me. I have so many memories. They prayed together in the synagogue. The father came to school events. He drove him to his first IDF meeting. The family was already planning what they would give him in honor of his 50th birthday and the completion of his doctorate. A coffee maker and Megillat Esther. That was the planned gift. The oldest son, Aviad, said, you never hated one. You're always optimistic. How can such a person be killed? And then he said to his father, teach me to be optimistic in this moment. You're not here, said Aviad. I can't understand where you are. I want to hug you and bring you close. He was a lead educator in one of Efrat's high schools. And one of his students posted the following on Facebook. Tonight, my rabbi from high school, Rav Yaakov Dan, was murdered. An incredible person to whom I am indebted. I thought I would share something small of his world. He did not differentiate between a student with a grade of 100 and a student with a grade of 37. He did not distinguish between a student who clutched a Talmud and a student who held a cigarette. He sat at the guards' booth entrance. Students passed by. They skipped school. But for him, he just wanted to listen, to hear how they were doing. He loved and believed in every child as if it was his only student. He believed they could get through absolutely anything. This is what Amalek takes from us. This is what we have to zachar. Before you come to Purim and the merrymaking of Makash and Mishloach Manos and the Haftalah Recha Kamalcha and the Suuda and the drinking Adelo Yada Ben Arham and Baruch Mordechai. And finding a Kosh Baruch even when he's hidden, and that's one of the main reasons we read Megillas Esther. Why don't we say Hala? Because we have the Megillah. But before you come to the merrymaking, Ksov Zos Zikaron B'Sefer V'Sim Ba'Azna Yehoshua. When's the Sefer Chinuch Shabbos before Purim? What says the Ramban? Teach it to your children and the generations. What says the Rambam? In your mouth, Zachar. In your lave, Lo Tishkach. What says Rav Soloveitchik? That the primary occupation of man, Satan, is bloodthirstiness for the Jew. We irritate him. Mordechai, a Yehudi. He's a Jew, Yoshe B'Shar Melech. Lo Yechav, Lo Yishtachaveh. He taught us so much about how to get through struggles and the searching of the adolescent years and his huge smile under his huge mustache. Listen to the end. I have rarely seen parents thank a teacher like they thanked Rav Yaakov Dan. They literally ran after him to thank him for his good nature and the holy work he did with the teenagers in the high school. B'yad. Vayomer kiyad al keis ka, melchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midar v'dar. Again, that's from the passage in B'Shalach, Perek Yad Zayin. The shir is based on both passages. Rav Kook teaches, Zatzal, Amalek rejects Israel's dual mission. Amalek rejects Israel's dual mission. Amalek cannot accept Israel. Okay, Israel has a dual mission. Rav Kook says Israel has a dual mission. Amalek cannot handle this. What can't they handle? We are mamlechas kohanim, instructing the world. Mamlechas kohanim literally means a kingdom of priests. That's what Hashem told us in the beginning of Perek Yates of Parashas Yeshua. Va'atem tiyuli mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. That's our dual mission. You're going to be a mamlechas kohanim on the one hand, and a goy kadosh, a holy nation, on the other hand. I've said this before, just as a very interesting point, not as a psak halacha at all, but as a point of interest, or Salvechik would not say in the morning in Berkas HaShachar, shalom asani goy, because Klai Yisrael is called goy. He would say, Shalom Asani Nachi. I'm not saying you should go home and do. I'm telling you something as a point of interest. Very interesting. Because recall, the guy, Mamlachas Kohanim, the guy Kadosh. So how could you say, Shalom Asani Guy? That's my mission is to be a guy Kadosh. Just fascinating point of interest. So Rav Kook says, Amalek cannot accept Israel as a Mamlachas Kohanim instructing the world, nor as a guy Kadosh, separate and unique with our own spiritual aspiration. So we have two goals. Mamlachas Kohanim, instruct the world, teach the world. We build playgrounds, they build terror centers. That's one thing. Goy Kadosh is we are separate and unique with our own spiritual attainments. And they can't handle either of those. God promised to obliterate Macho Emcha Amalek. There's a double lashon. Why Macho Emcha? God will blot out both aspects of what Amalek can't handle. On the one hand, they can't handle Mamlechas Kohanim and they battle against it. And on the other hand, they can't handle Goy Kadosh and they fight against that. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, Macho Emcha. I will double blot them out because they have a two-pronged attack. Why did God command that God... Is everyone with me? Mm-hmm. I usually stop and say, are there any questions? And I forgot. Because my eye's on the clock, because I always prepare too much, and I like to get through as much as possible. Did anyone have any... Was anything not clear in what we said so far? Okay. Why did God command... They're going to think I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to myself. Why did God command that his promise to destroy Amalek be written down and transmitted orally? So he says, we have two aspects. He's adding another beautiful aspect. Hashem said to Moshe, Ksov Zos, Zikaron B'Sefer. The Ksov Zos is the, says Rav Kook, written law. And the Zikaron is the oral law. Torah Shebichtav, write it down. Zikaron, Torah Shebapeh. Torah Shebapeh means the transmission of father to son, teacher to student, Rebbe to Talmud, Rav to Kehila. You have the Ksov Zos, Torah Shebiktav, Zikaron Bapa. Zikaron is the Bapa. So why? Amalek rejects Israel's mission to elevate humanity. So God commanded, write it down in the written law. The written law is our primary source of influence on the world. Everything began in here, in the Torah Shebiktav. Yes, Torah Shebiktav was given to us at Sinai, of course. But Torah Shebiktav is the primary source. That's where it all begins. But since Amalek also denies Israel's unique spiritual heritage, so Rav Kook says, we have also been commanded to transmit it verbally. Ksov Zos corresponds to Torah Shebichtav, Mamlachas Kohanim, our national mission of enlightening the world. Zikaron B'Sefer, the remembrance is Torah Sheba'al Peh, it corresponds to Goy Kadosh, our own spiritual attainment. When Amalek has been utterly destroyed, then we will be able to finally fulfill both missions. When they're totally destroyed, we will be the Mamlachas Kohanim, bringing light to the rest of the world. Education, morality, fundamentals, kindness, justice, loving kindness. They will see in the end of days, our way is right. The Torah Shebichtav is correct. We are Mamlachas Kohanim, who can influence others. But that's not the end of our mission. Our mission is also Goy Kadosh. We have a unique spiritual goal. And that cannot be absolutely accomplished as long as Amalek is here. Who knows, the heights of Moshe Twersky could have reached, the good of Yaakov Dan could have done, the children Eliezer's parents could have raised, had they not been blotted out by Amalek. You know, it's in an unbelievable twist of fate. Fate, says Rasavetcha Kodo Dido, fake is what happens in this world. Destiny is what man makes of it. We have no control over fate. We have control over destiny. Eliraz Peretz lived next door to, help me out because I'm drawing a blank. I hate when, who do you live next door to? Roe Klein. Thank you, God. Roe Klein. Roe Klein famously jumped on a grenade in Lebanon and yelled Shema Yisrael. Soldiers with him testified and he saved his people. It was going to land on the troops that were with him, the company that was commanded, that he was commanding. And when he gave up his life, they all would have been killed, you understand? He took the grenade, screaming Shema Yisrael first. What does this have to do with Eliezer's parents? Eliezer's parents was neighbors with the Klein family, and after Roe was killed, he would take the children, Roe's orphans, and they would go on trips, Shabbat, he would include them in his family. And then Eliezer was also killed. What could these people have accomplished in terms of Mamlachas Kohanim? The Hankins, Hashem Yikom Damo, Eitam Hankin was already Talmid Chacham. How could they have accomplished in Torah, Ma'isim Tov, in Midas Chesed, in Ahavas Abrios, in Avodas Hashem, had they not been taken as a Mamlachas Kohanim, bringing light to the nations, as a Goy Kadosh, as a holy person with unique spiritual aspirations? Amalek can't handle our worldview, and they must be obliterated in order for our two goals to be accomplished. It is compelling to note that when we first meet Amalek, okay, in Perikid Zayin of Shemos, we are told, Ki macho emcha et zechar malek mitachas ha-shamayim. Who will erase the remembrance of Amalek? What does macho emcha mean? I, referring to who? God. God. Ki macho emcha et zechar Amalek mitachas ha-shamayim. Who's talking? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Who will erase the remembrance of Amalek? Hashem. And in Devarim, where your pages probably turn to, the Pasuk says something else. The Pasuk says a different command. Look at Pasuk Yates, Devarim, Parak Chafei, V'haya bani echa shem lekecha lecha mikal evecha misavi, v'be'eretz asher shem lekecha nosa necha nachal erishta timcha, ezecher malak mitachas hashmayim lo tishchach. Who should erase them here?
You.
Meaning? Knesset Yisrael, which is why the Chinuch says, mitzvah zuno heges b'chol makom b'chol zman b'zcharim, because you have a constant mitzvah, tamid, in zcharim. So it's fascinating, it's a stira almost. Or maybe they go together and it's not a contradiction. They go hand in hand. On the one hand, who's going to erase Amalek? Hashem. Macho emcha. I will surely erase. And we explained the double lashon because Rav Kook says, why double lashon? Everyone remembers. Amalek can't handle that. We're mamlachas kohanim, a light to nation, and they can't handle Goy Kadosh. We have a unique spiritual aspiration. God will destroy them. But then we come to Devarim right before we cross to the borders of the promised land. And what do we see? You should destroy them. So who should destroy Amalek? It's unbelievable. It's beautiful. The battle against Amalek is clearly a joint one. Yes, Hashem does everything. But man has to do a shtadlus. Man has a tafkir. The whole Torah is full of instructions in how we fulfill our tafkir and how we be creative, thinking human beings. Kosh Baruch Hu did not make the Mishkan come down from Shemayim. Even though manna came from Shemayim and water came from a rock and the sea split and Hashem could do whatever he wants, you had to build the Mishkan. Moshe was the overseer. Bezalel was the master craftsman. You have to work. You have to build. The women gave the mirrors. You have to work it out. It's all from Hashem. Macho emcha. I'll destroy them, says God. Timcha tzecha malik. When you come to the land, you have to put forth your hand. And you have to destroy them. We are in a joint battle. We're in a shitfa, so to speak. We're in a partnership. We fight. God fights. Even if our fight is only... No one here is going to go take a sword and start slaying people. Chalila v'chas. But even if our battle is only in terms of Zachar b'pelo tishkach balev, you're still fighting. If it's transmitting the Masorah, you're still fighting. And it's a joint battle. Nothing in the Torah is by mistake. God fights, you fight. And in the end of days, together we'll get the job done by us reaching our potential and being the Mamlachas Kohanim, and being the Goy Kadosh with individual spiritual aspirations, and Vayihi Yado Be'emuna Ad Bo Hashemesh. What does Targum Unco says Emuna means? When you can't understand, and when you're confused, and when you go to Itamar, and there are 40 orphans, and when you read Miriam Peretz's book, and your heart is bleeding for these people, and you're crying. K'sov Zos Zikaron B'Sefer. We have the Torah Shebichtav, we have the Torah Shebaalpeh. We must teach it to our children. We put in our maximum effort, for lest we let our guard down, we become weak at the rear. Just then, Amalek attacks. I want to end with a vignette that I read on Shabbos, which was a tremendous story. It says about Amalek, Pasuk Yod Ches, I'm still in Devarim. We saw what Rashi says, right? Rashi says it was the sinners who were weak, spit up by the clouds of God. Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch said, you were a weak people, you were a new nation, you weren't strong. Nobody would expect that this would elicit hatred. We retired. Ayef. Does anyone remember the other time in the Torah Ayef is used? Haliteni na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh ki Ayef Anochi. Pour me some of that red, red stuff, said Esav, because I am tired. Note, Esav is the grandfather of Amalek. Interesting. I read the following over Shabbos. Rabbi Dov Lipman, who became the first English-speaking member of Knesset, primary language member of Knesset, there are since him two other ones. He made Aliyah, I think in 2004. I'm sure you know the name. He related the following last week. He had his aha moment. When you're in the land, you have to obliterate Amalek. He said he has a ha moment of why he really moved to Israel a few months after he moved to Israel. And he got into a cab. He said not only did the cab driver not have a kippah, but he had a bunch of earrings, quote, and tattoos. And the cab driver said to Dov Lipman, Rabbi Lipman, hat member of Knesset, how are you today? Dov Lipman said, Ani ayef. I'm tired. So the cab driver, with his, quote, bunch of earrings and tattoos, and no kippah, said, you should never say, ani ayef. You know why?
Why?
Because two times in the Torah it says ayef. One is with Esav. The other is by Amalek. Ani ayef is negative. You should say, I had a long day. I need to go to sleep. And Dov Lipman says, I thought to myself, the guy is giving me a shear on what words I should say, based on the Torah text. Ayef is associated with the negativity of Amalek. And it is this negativity that poses, perhaps, the greatest threat to our attaining Mamlechus Kohanim and Goy Kadosh. We battle them, the Ribbono Shel Olam will battle them, and in the end of days, the final leaf will fall from their wreath. Vayaku ha-Yehudim b'chol oyveihem. The Jews hit all of their enemies. Makas, Cherev, Vehereg, Va'avdon. You have a command to wipe them out. The Jews of Shushan and Paros and Madai smote their enemies. Vaya'asu b'sonehem kirtzonam. We did with our enemies what we wanted. Kayamim asher nachu b'hem ha'yehudim me'oyveihem. We should be zocha to the days when we will be granted the rest from our enemies. B'hachodesh. Asher nehapach lahem mi'yagon l'simcha. The month was churned from yagon, groaning, weariness, to simcha. Me'eva l'yom tov, from morning to yom tov. La'asos osam yimei mishta v'simcha. After we battle Amalek, we can have the true mishta and the true simcha. Mishloach manos ish l're'ehu u'matanos la'avyonim. Va'amar bayamahu, the Navi Yeshayahu says, Hine elokeinu zekivinu lo v'yoshenu. Now we can really see our God, so we can have a full measure of Yirah Shamayim. Zeh Elokeinu, kivinu lo v'yoshienu. We hoped to him. We waited for him. We longed for the redemption, and he saved us. Zeh Hashem kivinu lo. This is God in whom we hoped. Nagila v'nismecha b'yeshua. So let us have rina, rejoicing, and simcha, and gladness in his salvation. So I wish you a meaningful Shabbos Zachar. And a very, very freilich in Purim, we should be truly zocha v'nahafachu. The evil should be yom tov, the yagon should be simcha, the mourning should be true gladness. And Hashem finally smotes our enemies. Amen, amen. Thank you very, very much, ladies. I want to thank you all for coming on a day that feels more like the middle of January than on our way into spring. Thank you. My grandfather's neshama should have an aliyah, zichrono livracha.